Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At the 7, Iamaleava scans the field. Nico's going to take off. Nico to the end zone. Touchdown.
Obviously, that question at this moment, I mean, how am I supposed to answer that? When we lose the last two games, then obviously, you know, that's all that matters. We didn't win the last two games. But, yeah, obviously I felt that way or I wouldn't have said it. But after two losses, it's hard for me to answer that question and say that that's the case.
James Franklin there, after Penn State loses to UCLA, he was asked, you said before the season that this was the best collection of talent and coaches that you've ever had. Do you still feel the same way now? And he did not like that question very much. Sports Talk on the Fan, presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much. You can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. That was a CBS game. The Penn State loss to UCLA. The one thing you could always count on with James Franklin was he would lose the big games. He would win the games he was supposed to win. If you lose the game you're supposed to win, all of a sudden it was a big game.
Mm-hmm.
And they peed down their leg. They were not ready to play. Nico Iamaleava, he drives down the field. They score a touchdown on the first drive. Then it's an onside kick. You're down 10-0 before Drew Aller ever touches the football. And now it's game on.
Yeah.
You spot a team 10 points, I don't care who you are. I don't care where you're playing. But you're going to have to roll that boulder uphill. And UCLA never ceded the momentum.
Did they ever not have the lead?
Nope. They led the entire game. Oh, and here's a stat. They never led prior to the game. UCLA never led for a minute of football played this year until they played Penn State, and they never relinquished the lead in that game. If James Franklin wasn't going to be owed $56 million if he got fired, he'd have been left on the tarmac.
Yep.
And Penn State fans, you can call up and you can be defensive at 412-928-9370. But I think Penn State fans are going to agree with us neutral observers. That was as bad a loss as you're ever going to suffer as a program, because the expectations coming in were we're going to win the national championship.
I mean, there's a lot of reason why that it's probably one of the worst losses of the program. And just like you said, the expectation, I think, coming into the season and the pressure, I think, got to everybody in Happy Valley. And, you know, not only has Drew Aller not played great, but their NFL running backs haven't played great, too.
Great point.
Like, it's not all on Aller. It's not all on Franklin, in my opinion. I mean, you have two running backs that are potentially going to get drafted, would have gotten drafted in this draft, this past draft, but chose to stay. They haven't done anything.
They brought everybody back. All the important guys back, with
Tyler Warren.
And their pass rusher.
Yeah, and Abdul Carter.
Yep.
The reason why I think it's one of the worst losses in program history for Penn State is because of what UCLA has gone through.
Exactly right.
They just fired their head coach. They just fired their offensive coordinator. There's 12 people at the game. Nobody expected them to win this. I mean, not even come close. They were probably hoping that they would at least just cover.
I bet on them to cover. because of the travel. James Franklin seemed to think that the travel was an issue as well. That was one of the excuses he made after the game. You're right.
That's why, because of the turmoil that has gone on with UCLA and how bad of a football team they are.
We were comparing it prior to the show to 13-9. And Pitt didn't have a good record that year, but they were a punchy bunch. You guys were a punchy bunch. You were competitive in football games. There were a lot of good players on that team.
We didn't just fire our staff.
And you didn't just fire your staff. They had Rick Neuheisel's kid, who looks like he's 7 years old.
He does.
Who looks like he shampoos three times a day, who didn't know and admitted so much after the game how to use the coaching headset. There were two plays where he didn't have his finger on the right button, and so Nico couldn't get the play call. One was a fourth down, and Nico just had to go out there and make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what, and you still lost. You went out and you spent more money on a defensive coordinator in Jim Knowles than any college football team has ever spent on a coordinator. You've got one of the highest-priced offensive coordinators in Andy Kotelnicki, and you've got a head coach that says, every week, you got to go 1-0, and you went 0-1 against a team that I thought coming in, and I'm not sure it's any different now, one of the worst, if not the worst, in all of Power 5. And you got another one coming in Northwestern. Like, they're on a short list, man. UCLA didn't have a DC, didn't have an OC, didn't have an HC.
Right.
And they shoved it up your ASS.
It's, I mean, what you always want to see from a team that has a loss, and it's almost, you know, it wasn't a bad loss in Happy Valley last weekend against Oregon, because Oregon's a really good team. But it was a, you know, it's a loss that kind of hits you in your stomach. It's like, all right, we need to respond. You want to see your team respond. And that's what you were kind of hanging on if you were a Penn State fan. And this is the response you get.
Yeah, at least this losing to Oregon is, that fits within the narrative.
Right.
Oh, James Franklin can't win the big one. We've seen that before. You know what they're going to do? They're going to beat everybody. They're going to lose to Ohio State. They're going to go 10-2. They're going to make the playoff. And then you see what happens. You roll the dice. They ain't making the playoff. They got Iowa left. They got Indiana left. They got Ohio State left. The way they're playing now, they ain't going to beat any of those teams. They still could go 10-2, and if you do, you make the playoff. I ain't betting on that.
No, I think they definitely lose to Indiana.
Indiana's good. Indiana's got a big game this weekend.
And clearly Ohio State.
Ohio State, this wasn't supposed to be their year. Still a great team, but Penn State was the prohibitive favorite in the Big Ten. Penn State was everyone's trendy national championship pick. Them and Texas opened the season at 1-2 in the AP poll. Neither one of them is ranked right now. Penn State doesn't have a win against a Power 4 program. They're 0-2 in games against teams with a pulse. Congratulations on beating Villanova and Nevada and whatever the other school was that they played. And then you have your whiteout, and you begged, you pleaded, you bitched and moaned on the internet to make sure you get a whiteout at night in a big-time game. Instead of having your whiteout at noon, you got exactly what you wanted, and you lost. And Oregon runs down the field and taunts your student section. They need to fire James Franklin. Now, I said they should have left him on the tarmac, $56 million, keeping him from doing that. Even if it would be free to fire him. Like, my tongue was firmly planted in my cheek. You don't fire him mid-season because there's always the chance, because of how much talent they have, that you do run the table because you're good enough to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get rid of him until the end of the season. But look, Penn State's got cash, right? $56 million is a lot of cheddar, especially in today's day and age when you got $20 million to spend on your programs. And I know they just spent a lot of money to fix up Beaver Stadium, but they will never win a national championship with James Franklin.
No, they won't. But who would they? I mean, like, who's?
It's a great question.
You know, where do you go?
Neil Brown.
Because you got to think about recruits. I mean, they get the 5 to 4 stars, and there a lot of them are committed. Even the kid out of McKee Sports committed. Like, what happens in that scenario?
He's as good a recruiter as there is in the country.
Right.
But he can't coach on game day. Has never been able to coach on game day. You go back to year one, he couldn't coach on game day. Now, he took the program from a bad place, and Bill O'Brien deserves some credit, too.
Yeah.
But he made them Penn State again, But even at their apex, they've been a cut below Ohio State. They've been a cut below Michigan. And now you're losing on the road to UCLA. I don't know who you hire.
There's no coming
Cignetti?
Back. Cignetti? Why would he want to take that
job? I wouldn't.
I mean, he's comfortable at Indiana.
I'd be
the expectation at Indiana isn't as high every year. You know, if you're, what you're doing now is like astronomically insane for Indiana to be as good as they are. The expectation will always be that way with Indiana. They'll never be like, oh man, Indiana has to win, you know, so many games every single year in order to make the playoffs and make the national championship. You go to Penn State and you have, I mean, the expectation is going to be insane.
You go 8-4 in 4 out of 5 years at Indiana.
You're
getting a statue.
Yes.
And they're paying him too.
Absolutely.
He's making,
it's not about money.
A lot of money.
I would not want to take that Penn State job.
And he seems to me, Cignetti, that is, the kind of guy who would want to hang out there because it is challenging. And you're doing something that's never been done before. Just the arrogance of that guy, and I mean that in the most positive way possible, makes me feel like he wants to continue to do what he's doing
yes.
there. If I'm Penn State, I'd try to throw a bunch of cash, but I don't know where you turn. But that's not even really the point. You can't keep going forward with James Franklin. This was the team.
The team. Everybody chose to come back from the offensive coordinator. You got a new defensive coordinator, the quarterback, the running backs. Like,
and you're right about those running backs. Catron Allen had 1 carry for 8 yards in that game. And they've been underwhelming all season long. Where's Bo Perbula? Get him back.
He's playing pretty good right now, isn't he?
Yes, he is. Hey, maybe Pitt was playing the wrong quarterback, too. Heinchel played good ball on Saturday.
Pretty good. Pretty good.
He played really good ball.
Mm-hmm.
Cade Bell's yeah. offense, interesting, huh?
He fits the offense. Fits exactly what Cade Bell wants to do. And if you look around, I mean, it just the ball was going to the places it was supposed to go to. There's been a lot of times throughout Eli's career as a starting quarterback where, you know, he's played very well, but still didn't play to even another level where he could have played because there's a lot of guys that were always wide open, and he would just miss them. Unfortunately.
You go back, you watch the West Virginia tape, there's guys open all over the field.
All over the field.
All day long.
This kid, Heinchel, he finds those guys.
You just got to play within the system. Mm-hmm. And Eli's incredibly talented, and I happen to think he's a very nice kid. But a lot of his big plays throughout his career so far have been when the play breaks down and he's making something out of nothing. Like big play, boom or bust, a lot of turnover-worthy plays. We'll paint the optimistic picture for Pitt. They got a huge game coming up against Florida State. We'll do that when we come back. If you want to weigh in on Penn State's loss, on Pitt's win, give us a ring at 412-928-9370 on the fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We've got Eric Carlson joining us at 845.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Texture writes in that there is now a GoFundMe account trying to get Matt Rhule to leave Nebraska and to come to Penn State. Matt Rhule played at Penn State.
He did?
He did. Was an assistant coach at Penn State.
He played at Penn State? I thought he was 5'6". Didn't we talk about this?
No, that was the coach of Arizona State.
And Matt Rhule.
I'm on it. He's 5'6", Dorn. I mean, back then.
Hold on.
Probably a walk-on.
Wait, linebacker. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
How about that?
Oh.
Yeah.
Did not know that. That's actually a good call. I don't know how well he's done really with Nebraska. How well has he really done?
That takes time.
May I ask what a GoFundMe does, by the way, for bringing somebody somewhere? Are they going to get a GoFundMe to pay him?
Yes, they raise money to buy out Franklin to pay him.
That's crazy.
Well, it's hard to understand about that.
Yeah, I don't.
No, I mean, usually people.
That's the case. You know, like, that's what it is.
The first step is, like, I think you'd sign a petition, right? Usually you hear about petitions, not, hey, we're going to raise money so we can get.
Petition means nothing. You need that cash. Need
money.
Cold, hard cash. 56 million big ones to get James Franklin out of town. Will they do it? I don't know, because that is a lot of money. But they're never going to win a national championship with that guy.
Yeah, I don't know what you do.
You just keep winning 10 games until you don't.
I think Matt Rhule.
And they might not now.
Is a good college head coach.
Me too. I think he's a potentially great college head coach.
He's a really good college head coach. Now, I don't know. Like, I mean, I think before he got there in Nebraska, what were they? Like,
not good.
They weren't good. So, like, they're decent now.
They lost every one score game pretty much that they played in when they had the guy, Scott Frost, who's now back at UCF.
You know what? He would be the guy. Matt Rhule. Now I think about it. That's such a good call.
That's a really good call. Nebraska fans probably rooting for Penn State the rest of the way. How about Pitt? How about Heinchel? How do I say it?
Heinchel.
Heinchel. I made it a T instead of an N. They got Florida State coming up next weekend, but he was really good.
There is a N and there's a T.
Ah, well. Silent T.
He's a kid that I saw in the spring and I saw in training camp. And from my estimation, he looked the best out of all the quarterbacks. Now, college football is different clearly now, where if you're paying somebody, you have to play him. Like, I mean, that's just the case. And, you know, he is a freshman. He's 18 years old. But he came in and he has a characteristic immediately when he first got here in the spring. He had a characteristic that usually takes time for a quarterback, and that was the anticipation. And that's what I saw that was different between him, between even the Duggar kid who transferred and Eli. Heinchel always knew where he wanted to go with the football, and it was always the correct place. And if it wasn't where he wanted to go with the football, he was going through his reads, and he would know exactly where he wanted to end up with the ball. And you saw that on Saturday. And he did it every single day in practice, every single day. And that's something that you have to grow into as a young quarterback usually. But he has that, you know, kind of part of his game already, which is – insane for the maturity to have that. He knows how to run this offense very well, clearly. And he gave them an opportunity to regain that confidence. So whether it's on the field and from off the field standpoint, he gets guys together. He's meeting with all of his teammates. He's the first one in the building type of guy. Like, he's in there at 6 a.m. watching film by himself, then he brings guys in to watch film with him. Like, he has that maturity leadership at 18 years old. It's exactly what you wanted to see, and it's really, at least for this past game, it's panned out for Pat Narduzzi to make that decision to go to him, and I know that was a tough decision.
Absolutely, it's a tough decision. One guy's getting paid a lot of money, and they should have paid him a lot of money.
Right.
Like, it's easy to say hindsight now. I can't believe that they were paying the wrong guy. How do you not, when you're 7-0, with Eli Holstein last year, not pay him? You have to pay him. Other teams were trying to pay him too. That's a fact.
Uh-huh.
Also a fact, this isn't just revisionist history from you. You were telling me this offseason that this is a guy.
Yeah.
That Mason Heinchel's a guy. You were telling me before this game, if he plays, and you may or may not have known some things, that he's a guy. You watch. And that it was a crisp week of practice. I think the Florida State game is fascinating because I don't know. I think Miami's really good. I think this is a real Miami team. Like, I think they are really good. Like, national championship good. I don't know if Florida State's good. They beat Bama. I don't know that Bama's good. I'm not sure. And they lost to Virginia. Virginia looks pretty good. I don't know. What I know is that Pitt's got to go on the road to take on a team that they're a 9.5-point underdog against. I think Pitt fans should be really optimistic right now because you got a quarterback that knows where to go with the ball, who understands the offense, who has the anticipation that you're saying, who has moxie. You might get Desmond Reed back. We don't know that. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. But if you do, he's transformative. He's one of the best all-purpose players in the country. And it's not like Florida State's unbeatable. I'll say that.
Mm-hmm. They've lost two in a row.
Exactly.
You know Tommy Castellanos. you've played against him, what, 2 years ago? He didn't play last year because he left the team or whatever, but 2 years ago here in Pittsburgh, you did play against him, so you kind of know what he's about.
He could put 40 points on your ass, or he could turn the ball over
exactly.
four times.
Exactly.
So if I'm a Pitt fan, based on what happened with Penn State too, I'm feeling pretty good today, and I'll worry about Florida State at the end of the week, but I think that's a massive prove-it game. If you go in there and you win that game, you were where you want to be. You just got there in a weird way.
Uh-huh.
Oh, wow, our quarterback's playing well. Oh, maybe we got Desmond Rebound. Oh, we just beat Florida State, top 25 team on the road. Now you're 4-2. You're going against Syracuse. You're probably going to be favored in that one if you win two in a row, and all of a sudden things fall into place. So I can't wait to watch that game.
It's going to be fascinating.
In Tallahassee, where they do the tomahawk chop. Oh, I had to mute the game. Them in Oklahoma. Oklahoma makes a play anytime. It could be, they could be down 40 points, incomplete pass. They'll play their damn fight song. Florida State, anything can happen. Quarterback throws one away and he doesn't take a sack. Oh, it's like, oh my God.
I will say this. I do like Pitt's corners in this matchup against that tall wide receiver that Florida State has. And like, this is where those corners show up because.
Look at you.
Because, you know, Pitt's corners are ball, I mean, 6'3". You know, Rashad Battle, Lynam. If he's healthy, that's a good matchup that you want to have your 6'3 corners against that number zero, I forget his name, the wide receiver for Florida State.
He's good.
He's really good.
Texter writes in, is this going to be the next Keaton Slovis, Phil Djurkovic, or Eli Holstein? Listen, it's time for optimism. Totally fair. Totally, it's one game against a bad BC team, but you're not only going off just the BC game.
It's not going to be another one of those guys. You want to know why? Because those guys transferred in. This kid is homegrown. This kid committed out of high school, and he's a freshman.
And
he's not a transfer from another school like every other guy that you just named.
He also didn't have a ton of Power 4 offers. He had a lot of MAC offers, and so he's going to have a loyalty, you would think, to the Pitt program. If he plays well this year, you guys believed in me. Nobody else believed in me. Other people come a-calling. If it were to go that way. It's way too early for that conversation.
It is. But I just love the consistency from March, April, all the way through August from him. Like, there was nothing, there wasn't like a day where it's like, oh, he had a bad day. Never heard anything like that. It was always consistent. Bang, bang, bang. I think he threw like one pick in training camp.
If he can play the way you thought Holstein would play, then the season still, you still have a shot this season. Because it's not like the playmakers weren't there. All of a sudden, Kenny Johnson, whoa, what, 8 catches in the first half? Like, okay, this is the way it's supposed to look, regardless of who the quarterback is. There's playmakers, and again, no Desmond Reed, and you still put up 48 points or whatever it was.
Now look how well the defense played because of that, too. I mean, they create turnovers. That's their MO. They created a bunch of turnovers, but they got off the field. They were on the field a lot the last two games before this game. You know, asking to make play, you know, being asked to make plays and to keep Pitt in the game. Now they could actually play defense with the offense actually taking care of business. I mean, they're very balanced. I know he had 323 yards passing, but he had 28 yards rushing, and the running backs, Jules Goff and Turner, they both, you know, together were over 100 yards. Like, it was a very balanced football game for the Pitt Panthers, and that's how it's supposed to look.
Yes. I am worried still about the Pitt offensive line, which is banged up and taking on more water there. And I think that you look at what Florida State can do just to look at this upcoming game, rushing the passer. They have, you know, it's not a great pass rush. I think Miami's offensive line's really good.
Might
be the best in the country. Yeah. But they have 11 sacks on the season. I think that'll be a matchup to watch. You got to keep the young quarterback clean. You want to weigh in on this or Penn State? 412-928-9370. The phone lines have exploded. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, personalized law firm, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And you can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. 15 minutes, Eric Carlson going to join.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On the show, Penguins defenseman Erik Karlsson going to be joining us in about 7 minutes on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Penn State lost this weekend. We've talked about James Franklin and his maybe eventual replacement, Matt Rhule. Pitt obliterates Boston College behind the play of a freshman quarterback, and maybe they'll get Desmond Reed back this weekend. Haven't been told that. That would be big, going on the road to play Florida State. And people want to talk about it, Doran. Troy, our guy from Mount Washington, next up. Hi, Troy.
Charlie, what's going on, brother? What's up, Doran?
What's up?
What up?
Hey, so, yeah, just let me touch a little bit on the Pitt and the Penn State. I kind of got into, like, a tweet war with someone on Doran's post.
Nice.
About Penn State when they were done. And it's like, I hate when, like, Penn State loses games like this, and then they start comparing themselves to Pitt.
Right.
First off, they don't want to play Pitt. Second off, we don't claim to be what Penn State claims to be.
Exactly.
So when you're in a situation where you're supposed to be one of the best teams in the nation, like year in and year out, and you don't perform, you can't look at Pitt and be like, oh, well, you lost to Syracuse. Like that doesn't match up. Like our expectations are a lot different. If we're winning 8 or 9 games in a year, we are happy with that. And then in terms of the freshman quarterback, I did like him. I was a little surprised on how bad they beat BC, to be honest with you. So I think that kind of like made me feel like he's a little bit better than he is because they beat down the team so bad. So I can't really gauge him yet. I want to see him in another game, kind of in a big-time situation, and I can judge him over Eli.
Yeah, Saturday.
Thank you, Troy.
Saturday. I mean, you said it too, Crowley. Like, Saturday's big.
Yeah, and to take nothing away from what he did.
That's great.
I don't care who you play.
It's your first game.
It's your first game against a Power 4 team.
That wasn't, like, this is, like, I'm not, like, Boston College wasn't out there getting blown out all season. They were in every single game that they played. They just ended up, obviously, on the wrong side. If you go back and look at their schedule, they lost by maybe 10 points one game, I think, you know, 3 points, and then maybe 7 points in another game. It's not like they were getting blown out by the teams that they lost to. So, like, they have been playing decently. That's just – Pitt just had their number on Saturday. And Heinchel, he deserves a lot of credit for that.
No doubt.
But we'll see Saturday how he stacks up on the road against the Florida State team that is desperate for a win.
To touch quickly on Troy's first point, Penn State, it's always unrivaled, unrivaled, unrivaled. And even I tweeted out something negative about Penn State, which everyone should because it was a disastrous loss. And my mentions flooded with, well, West Virginia sucks. Okay, good. You're comparing yourselves to West Virginia and you're one of a head coach. Congratulations to you. You are now rivaled now that you are paying attention to my school and you're paying attention to Doran's school. Maybe you should have paid attention to UCLA and not whether or not the seats reclined on the plane flying out to the West Coast. We'll put a pin in this. Mark Caboli going to join us from 9 o'clock until 10. But coming up next, Penguin season. They're dropping the puck tomorrow. Dan Muse makes his debut against Mike Sullivan. And Erik Karlsson, Penguins defenseman, going to join us next to get into it. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township. They drop the puck on the Penguin season tomorrow. Penguins, Rangers, Mike Sullivan on the opposing bench, and we're joined now to get into all of it by Penguins defenseman, future Hall of Famer, two-time Norris Trophy winning Erik Karlsson. Erik, we really appreciate you making the time to join us today, man. How's it going?
Oh, it's good, thanks. How are you guys?
Oh, we good. Are doing fabulous. I understand you had to pick your kid up from school. I think because of the how long it's been, I feel like I can bring this up. I happened to see you, and we chatted for a couple of moments last year at a Paw Patrol live show, Erik. Are you a big Paw Patrol guy?
No. I mean, I don't think it's horrible. It's actually pretty decent to watch, but my kids, they used to be really into it. I think they kind of fallen out of it now and moved on, but I did enjoy it.
Have you gone into the Bluey phase yet? Are you guys Bluey fans?
Yeah, we've been in Bluey for a bit. I can't say that it's their number one show, but it is frequently showing up on our TVs at home.
So four Bluey episodes is 28 minutes, which is probably how much you're going to average ice time per game this year. At least that's the way it went under Mike Sullivan. What have you seen? What do you like with Dan Muse now at the helm?
No, I think it's been good. You know, obviously it's been a long camp. We've had a lot of bodies here, and you know, I feel like the coaching staff has been extremely busy trying to you know, see and get the feel for everyone that was there. But I think in general it was a well-handled camp. It was a fun camp. It was really hard, but I feel like everybody is ready to go for tomorrow. And you know, I've had nothing but good interactions, and the things that we've done throughout the camp has been you know, positive, and you know, looking forward to keep building on that throughout the year.
Eric, you're 35 years old now. You know, a lot of younger guys that you're going against night in and night out in the NHL. How's your body feeling, and are you still having fun playing hockey?
Yeah, no, everything is great. Body feels awesome. Had a really good summer. You know, dealt with some minor things by the end of last year, and it's all cleared up. Feel ready to go, and having the younger guys around is always fun. Remember being one of those back a while back, and you know what they bring, and it just makes you feel a little bit younger as well. So like I said, I think it's been a really good camp in that aspect, that we had a lot of bodies around, and you know, you get to see a lot of different things.
One of those young guys, Harrison Brunick, who scored a beautiful goal the other day, kind of reminiscent of yourself. Is this a guy you take under your wing? Does he pick your brain asking you questions? Is this something Dan Muse has asked to some of you veteran guys, to take these guys under your wing? Or is it just something that sort of happens naturally? And what have you seen out of the youngster?
No, I think that's one of the organic things in our sport. You know, obviously, we've all been in the same positions that a lot of these young guys are. You know, he's one of them. I think, obviously, he's had a really good camp. You know, he's really shown that, you know, he wants to be here, and he's done everything that's been asked of him. And, you know, hopefully he can keep playing at a high enough level where he can stick around and, you know, keep progressing along the way. You know, so looking forward to getting to spend some more time around him and get to know him, you know, on a personal and professional level. And you know, hopefully from what it looks like, it seems like a guy that, you know, is determined to be a good player in this league.
Eric Carlson, our guest here on the Fan Morning Show. What are some of the differences between Mike Sullivan's system and what Dan Muse is asking of you guys?
Well, I think it's changed quite a bit. You know, obviously when someone's been at one place for a very long time, it's, you know, it gets a little bit easier every year to understand and kind of know what is expected of you and what, you know, they want to accomplish. Whereas, you know, this year everything is new, and it's probably going to take a little bit of time before it becomes automatic again. And, you know, guys are just playing on instincts and you know, kind of know what's going on around you. But I think they've done a good job in explaining to everyone on you know, what they kind of want and how they kind of want us to play moving forward. So I think there's been a lot of healthy discussions, and I think they're going to keep going for a little bit, you know, until, like I said, everything becomes the new normal again.
This is your third season with the Penguins, Eric. Is the city of Pittsburgh and the Penguins organization everything that you expected it to be whenever you first got here? You know, from the outside looking in, obviously you know about Crosby throughout your career and, you know, them winning cups. But whenever you first got here until right now, has this organization and the city been everything you expected it to be?
Yes and no. I think it's a lot more beautiful than from what I remember, you know, staying at a hotel. And only moving, you know, a couple of blocks at a time, you know, being able to explore everything about Pittsburgh, around Pittsburgh, I think has been a pleasant surprise. We enjoy living here. You know, our kids enjoy their schools. I think the school systems are fantastic, you know, and as for the organization, I knew it was one of the better ones, but You know, it's been world class since the day we came here, and you know, even though we haven't performed the way you know, we were all hoping for, it can make things a lot more difficult. But I think that they've handled everything you know, on a personal level extremely well, and you know, professionally, I feel like it's finally starting to move forward again.
And it seems, Eric, like the expectations, whether by design, from management, or just the way that you guys are viewed from the outside, are probably lower than we are used to seeing around here. I'm sure that's not something that you guys have internalized in the dressing room. I mean, guys like you, Sid, Gino, Letang, I mean, Rust, Raquel, you're going out there trying to win every night. Do you pay attention to the expectations at all?
Not really. I mean, I think it's can't really say that you don't see or hear about, you know, what other people are talking about or what they're feeling about us. And at the same time, I feel like, you know, it's been a really good camp. Everything is, there's a lot of new things happening around here, and you know, a lot of things are kind of changing. And I think it's been an exciting time for everybody. And I think everybody is excited to get started. And I don't think we've talked or thought too much about, you know, where we're going to be at Christmas and where we're going to be, you know, in March and come April. I think we're going to start this off by a day-to-day basis, which is, you know, not always the worst thing to do. So I think that, again, everybody's going to be really excited to get going tomorrow at MSG, you know, playing against a good team. And you know, we'll take it from there.
Eric, who's your favorite teammate?
My favorite teammate, that's hard to single out just, you know, one. But I mean, it's hard to overlook my fellow Swedish companion, Raquel. We spent all the time together. It's nice and homey to speak some Swedish every once in a while too. So I think I would have to say him.
I would imagine that you're looking forward to the Olympics. I mean, you played at such a high level in the Four Nations face-off, which was just a great showcase for the game of hockey. What's your anticipation level for that? I know it's a long way away and you're probably focused on the season, but I'm sure that's something that gets your blood going every time you get a chance.
Yeah, obviously that's a big motivator for a lot of things that we do. And it's been a long time since we had that opportunity. Yep. You know, Four Nations kind of gave you a little bit of a feel again for what it's like to play against the best. And you know, Olympics is obviously one of the best moments and the experiences that I have had in my career. So I'm very excited for that to be coming up. And at the same time, you know, you try and not look too far ahead and you stay in the moment as much as you can. But I think as it starts leading, but hopefully, you know, everything is going as you expect and you're healthy and picked for the team.
Season starts tomorrow. Penguins at MSG taking on the Rangers, and it's going to be weird with Mike Sullivan on the other bench. Eric, I hate the Rangers. Please beat the Rangers. Is it going to be weird for you looking across and seeing Sully?
Yes and no. I think once the puck drops tomorrow, I think that will kind of go out of your head a little bit and you'll just focus at the task at hand. But obviously, you know, when someone, like I said, has been somewhere and has had tremendous success for as long as he did, it's going to feel a little unnatural at first, I think. But I think come tomorrow, we're just going to be focused on, you know, playing the best that we can. And like you said, trying to beat the Rangers.
Yeah, I hate the Rangers. Eric, appreciate your time, man. Continued success. Hopefully you and your teammates stay healthy this season. And we'll talk to you down the road here. Seriously, appreciate it.
Sounds good, guys. Thank you.
All right, Eric. Take care now.
Thanks. Bye.
Eric Carlson, Penguins defenseman, two-time Norris Trophy winner, a professional lad.
Yes.
A nice man.
Yes.
It's so weird, man. Like, they need to be bottom five in the league.
I just don't think that they're going to be.
I think they're like tweeners. Uh-huh. I think they're worse than they've been, but I also don't think they're bad enough to be a bottom five team in the league.
Nope.
And I want them to win tomorrow. It's so hard watching your team. You know, okay, what's better for the greater good of the organization? What's the most important thing? Probably getting another elite player in the upcoming draft and building that way. But when the puck drops tomorrow, I want Sidney Crosby to hurt the Rangers.
Yes.
And I want...
And they will.
I mean, you got Kindle, you got Brunick, who he had a lot of good things to say. It's going to be fun. We haven't had this since the X Generation, where... Even when it's like Hunchell the other day.
Yeah.
Like, Okay, and Pitt season's not over. I'm not saying that. But, okay, if you lose the game, how's he developing? And there's going to be a lot of that going on this year, too. Thanks to the Penguins for setting that up. Evan Shaw and the fine folks over in Penguins Public Relations. And thanks to Eric Carlson. Not a huge Bluey family. Don't you shake your head. Well, Bluey's the goat.
Yeah, we'll see.
You know who's not? James Franklin.
Oh, yeah.
Can I do one more for you?
Yep.
I saw Mulsey tweet this out, and it got 1,700 retweets. UCLA interim head coach Tim Skipper now is tied with James Franklin with one career top 10 win against a Big Ten opponent. Holy bird milk. Mark Cabali joins us next. First Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Hot this afternoon and sunny, high of 82, low of 56. It's a Fan Morning Show.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.